This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. We'll start off this week with Theater 5 and The Man on the Canyon Wall, their story from January 13, 1965. After that, it's Gunsmoke and Shakespeare, their episode from August 23, 1952.
You want to see a bad guy, Nick, go to the movies. That's the only place they got heroes and villains. Outside the movies, everybody's a poor slob with his own good reasons for doing lousy things.
You mean like setting me up? Setting me up for Angelo and his whip.
Theater 5 presents Man on the Canyon Wall.
What's
the matter, Tony? Nervous?
Yeah, it's a mile drop to the canyon.
Big horns sure are high, man, huh?
Well, it ain't Chicago. We got much farther to go.
Top of this mountain road, Angelo said.
Boy, Nick sure picked himself a hideout. You think he knows how we traced him to Wyoming?
No, they never know. The Cicero gang always gets the blade in when a guy don't expect nothing.
Poor slob.
Yeah, Nick's a loser. Jerk should have split for the South Pole when he had the chance.
Well, what made Nick do it, Peppy?
I heard it was a dame.
Well, that figures.
Sure. Why else would a guy be stupid enough to cut out with 80 G's belonging to Angelo or Rika?
Hey, is Nick really out of the life?
That's the scoop.
Nick!
Got a new name. He owns this crummy sheep ranch up here. Guess he don't want to play with his bad boys no more.
Nick never was no hard rock.
Ah, he was a smart boy. Like you.
Lay off.
Well, you are a smart boy, ain't you? Gunsel for Angelo Rika. They ain't even killed him, man.
I killed the guy.
Hmm?
South Vietnam.
Commie?
No. Ranger captain from Saigon.
Them the guys on our side?
Yeah. I was with his crummy patrol when we hit a Viet Cong village. Got 7 women prisoners.
That was the best kind, man.
So does Jazbo start torturing them to make them talk. I don't go for them kicks, not on dames. So I tell him, cut it out. Flips his wig and tells me to get lost. It's his outfit.
You mean you plugged him for that?
So I pull a gun on him to make him lay off. So he goes for his own heat. Only I'm a little faster.
Is that why you was court-martialed?
That was why, yeah. After that, it was the whole world versus Tony Valetti. I was lucky to get out with a dishonorable discharge. But just try. Try and get a decent job with one of them.
You wanted to be a working stiff?
Well, not bad enough to clean out cesspools. Now, the only guy willing to give me a real break was Angelo Arique. Look out, will you?
Hey, let go of the wheel.
Whoa, whoa. Behind, we almost went over that time. Hey, if I didn't grab the wheel.
I wasn't no 3 inches from the edge.
Look, we're supposed to bring Nick back to Chicago alive, remember? Not the way you drive, we won't.
I'd be doing him a favor.
You mean that steel whip of Angelo's?
Yeah. Nice and slow. In front of the whole mob.
Angelo don't have to do it like that.
You figure Nick deserves better, kid?
Nobody's a villain, Peppy. That's only in the movies. Everybody does what he's got to do. It's a tough world.
Yeah. Well, you got any idea of giving it to Nick quick? Forget it. Understand?
I ain't gonna shoot him.
You better not. When Angelo says bring him in breathing, he means breathing. Hey, Tony. Look at them hawks flying down there in the canyon.
Hey, Pat, look out!
What?
Left wheel spinning off the road!
What's wrecking the car?
It's sliding over quick, Bobby!
Yes.
Jump out my sight! You all right, Peppy?
My back. It's killing me.
Oh, hang on, Peppy, hang on.
I can't hardly breathe.
It's thin. Stabs your lungs like needles.
How far down are we from the road?
I don't know, maybe 30 feet.
Gotta get help quick. Yell, kid.
Help! 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 Somebody help!
I think it's a kid.
Somebody's got to hear it. Listen, Peppy.
How you doing, kid?
I'm going nuts with the pain in my arms.
Hang on, kid. Hang on, you'll make it. Here comes the car. Yeah, we can, kid. Now.
Help! Help! Help!
Can't hear you. Oh, the motor. So long, Tommy.
Peppy?
Don't look down, kid.
Don't let go, Peppy. Oh, no, no. No. Whoa, be my mother. Don't let me go. I'm only 25. Somebody save me. Coming back, it is. I must have heard Peppy scream.
Here I am.
Oh, look down here.
Now, Mac, hang on.
Hurry up, I'm flipping.
I got a rope. I just tied one end of my fender.
Hurry up, I can't last.
I'll lower myself down here and tie onto the rope. Here I come, Mac. Hang on. Get a good grip on that leg, pal. This ain't gonna be easy.
Okay. Don't hurt me, Nick. Love of heaven, don't you?
You know my name, huh?
I heard it in Sundance.
Yeah? Well, that's it around here, Mac.
But you must have told me.
Hey, your voice sounds familiar all of a sudden.
Hurry up, will you? I can't hang on. No.
Turn your face around.
I can't move.
Turn your face around. Tony.
Yeah. Yeah, it's me, Nick.
Tony Valetti. Hiya, pal. Long time no see.
Give me a break, Nick. Tie me on the rope.
Who was in your car when it dumped in the canyon?
Peppy the ball.
You guys were paying me a friendly little visit, huh?
Angelo just wants to talk
to you. Sure he does. With his big steel whip, huh? Where is he?
My arm, Nick. Please.
Where's Angelo?
Chicago. Mother of God, Nick, get me out of here.
Get you out of here?
got him, Nick. You got him.
Oh, wouldn't I be a first-class monkey's uncle? Oh, I'm letting you hang here till you drop. Happy landings, pal.
If you put me on that rope, I'll tell Angelo you saved me. He'll give you a break, Nick.
Sure he will. A million breaks. All over my bones and skin.
All right. All right, Nick, all right. Don't save me, but have a heart.
What do you want?
A shove. I can't make myself let go.
You mean it?
Yes. Yes, I mean it. Do it, Nick. Let me die fast.
Shut your eyes.
Okay. It's so long, Nick. Nick, whoa.
Hang on. Don't move.
You're tying me under the rope.
Yeah. I'm a first-class monkey's uncle.
But why are you doing it, Nick?
I'm a jerk. And I wouldn't let a dog die like this. Made it.
Give me a hand. Oh, man. Solid earth.
See the car down there. Looks like a squashed bug.
Yeah, so is Peppy. Poor guy, I'd be laying next to him right now. Except for you, Nick.
Yeah. I got a bottle. You want a buzz?
Yeah, I sure could use one.
Yeah.
Well, you first, Nick. Attaboy.
Catch.
Oh, man. That's good. Nothing like a belt to make a gut. Nick?
Yeah?
You pointing that gun at me?
Yeah.
Well, why?
Why not?
Well, you're going to kill me?
Yeah, Tony, I'm going to kill you.
Don't make sense.
Don't?
We're not after risking your neck to save me. Not, don't.
Tony, on the Canyon Wall, you weren't one of Angelo Arica's boys. You were just a guy asking me to save your life. Any guy.
Nuts. You knew who I was.
Sure. But I didn't let myself think about it. Oh, maybe I wouldn't sleep nights if I'd left you hanging there. I don't know.
Well, thanks a lot for nothing.
Up here, I got no choice, Tony. Now, you're not just any guy anymore. You're Angelo's gunsel.
He just wants to see you.
You ever see him use that whip, Tony?
I don't like to watch that stuff.
You ought to, Tony. Very educational. Tells you a lot about guys like Angelo. He has fun with that whip. I once seen him use it. Angelo cut the guy to shreds for half an hour.
Angelo ain't a bad guy if you don't cross him. He'd give me a break when I needed it. I owe Angelo a lot, Nick.
Like setting me up with a whip, for instance?
Oh, Nick, you want to see a bad guy, go to the movies. Everybody's a poor slob with his own good reasons for doing lousy things. Didn't you have yours for crossing Angelo?
Yeah.
Nobody's a bad guy or a good guy, Nick. You just do what you gotta do, that's all.
That's why I gotta kill you now, Tony.
Yeah, I know it.
I wish I didn't have to. I mean that.
I got no score coming, Nick. You didn't have to pull me out of that canyon.
I'd take a chance and let you go if it was just me. But I got a family to worry about now.
You married the thing?
Oh, she's my brother's wife.
Your brother's wife?
He was killed in a gang fight in New York. That's when I decided I had a belly full of the gang. My brother and me, we joined because my father said we had to. Pop was mixed up with that mob all the way back to Sicily.
Well, why'd you take off with Angelo's dough?
My brother left a wife and three kids. I wanted him to have a chance. So I borrowed 80 grand from Angelo to buy this sheep ranch up here.
You borrowed?
Angelo's going to get back every cent. He already got 12 grand saved up.
Maybe Angelo will take your market for the dough.
Man, kiss me on both cheeks. No, Tony. I bought a decent life for my brother's family and me. I'm hanging on to it.
Angelo won't let you.
You'll have to find me again.
Maybe you could stay here, Nick.
Yeah? How?
And I could go back and tell Angelo it was a bum steer that you ain't here.
No sale, Tony. I couldn't trust you.
Why not? I'm just a homesick Chicago boy trying to eat regular. I got no beef against you.
You're still Angelo's man. It's too long a shot. You understand, Tony? It's nothing personal.
Yeah. I know you ain't no killer, Nick.
Yeah, you better turn around. Yeah. Any last message you'd like me to get home to your folks?
Yeah. Send it in.
Nick! All right.
I got your gun, Nick. Now don't make me shoot.
I should have let you run on that canyon wall.
I'm sorry, Nick. A guy's got to look out for himself any way he can. Okay, in the car.
Tony. You owe me a favor for bringing you up on that rope.
I can't let you go, Nick.
I'm not asking you to.
Then what do you want?
Shoot me here, now.
I can't, Nick. I can't.
You owe me.
Angelo's mad. He wants you breathing.
I didn't let you die a terrible way.
Nick, listen. Angelo is my only friend. When nobody had touched me with a 10-foot pole, I owe him. I owe him before I owe you. You understand?
Yeah, I understand. It's like you said, Tony. You want to see villains, you go to the movies.
Okay, in the car, Nick.
Uncle? Uncle Nick?
Who's that?
My name's Teresa.
Uncle Nick, did you find the man who was yelling?
All right, stand still. You won't get hurt, kid.
Uncle Nick, he's got a gun.
All right, honey. He's a friend of mine. I have to go away with him for a while.
When are you coming back?
Maybe not for a long time, honey.
Oh, but what will we do without you, Uncle Nick? Who'll look after us?
You tell your mother if I'm held up getting back, sell the ranch.
No. Oh, you mustn't leave us, Uncle. Please. Please don't go away.
It can't be helped, honey. You tell Mother I want you all to go to my cousin Maria in Los Angeles. She has a big house.
Uncle Nick, no. No, no. You're all we have. Oh, please, please don't go away.
Go back to the house now, Teresa. Quickly.
No.
Do as I say.
No. Uncle
the kids
Nick.
Goodbye for me. Don't look back, honey. Don't look back. Okay, Tony. Who drives?
I do. Get away from the car, Nick.
You ain't taking me? You're gonna let me die easy here, huh?
Start walking.
Thanks, Tony. I hope this don't get you in any trouble with Angelo.
I'll tell him you went for Pepe and both of you went over the cliff.
Thanks. So long, Tony.
So long.
Well, come on! Come on, Tony! Shoot! Shoot!
Yeah?
You gonna run me down or something?
No.
You're not gonna kill me?
Get out of Wyoming with your brother's wife and kids. Angelo may not believe me.
Well, then what happened to you?
I don't know.
Tony, why are you giving me this break?
Maybe I do owe you before I owe Angelo. He's got no beef. I couldn't do him no good dead at the bottom of the canyon. And that's where I'd be right now with Pepe, except you give me a break.
That ain't why you're doing it, Tony.
No.
No. It's the way that kid cried on my shoulder.
Baloney.
Because my brother's widow and kids got nobody to look after them but me.
Look, nobody's a villain. Not you, not me, not Angelo. We all got reasons.
You're a decent guy, Tony.
Send Angelo the dough when you got it, understand? 10 G's at a time, but don't sign your name. Don't make no liar out of me.
Thanks, Tony.
Shut up. I'll beat it home before I change my mind.
So long, Tony. So long.
Presented Man on the Canyon Wall, written by Jules Archer and directed by Ted Bell. In the cast, Jackson Beck, Evelyn Juster, George Petrie, and Jack Grimes. Audio engineers Neil Pulse and Marty Folia.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
It was the dust. The heat was bad enough in Dodge City, but out on the plain, it was the dust. The sun was a burning red-brown chip in the sky, and the sweat on a man never had a chance to drop. It was blotted and dried with dust. Doc Chester and I had ridden to old man Gore's place 10 miles out. He'd had some trouble with one of the hands. Fellow had gone loco with liquor and had been shooting up the cattle. We found him, stripped naked nearby on his haunches, crying, drunk over a parched water hole. Doc had got him to bed and fixed him up some. And now we were heading back for Dodge.
Darn horse. Seems he's just bound to stomp all the dust and Kansas in my eyes.
Maybe the marshal will buy you a camel, Chester.
This keeps up, we'll all buy camels. I remember the time back in Waco when I was just
Doc,
a small...
Chester,
boy.
You see something ahead on the side of the trail there?
Yeah, maybe.
It looks like some poor calf strayed off and dropped.
I don't think so. It looks like a man. Come on. Chester, get the water bag.
Yes, sir.
Let me have a look, Marshal.
Yeah.
See. Heat.
Is he all right?
Well, depends on how long he's been lying here.
Here you are, Mr. Dillon.
Open up his shirt, Marshal. Chester, get some of that water on his wrist.
All right.
It looks like an Easterner, huh?
Sure not dressed for this country. Oh, no, that's better. That's better. Try to get a few drops in him.
All right.
No, not too much, Chester.
Not in his nose, Chester. His mouth.
Well, my gracious, I'm sorry, Mr. Dillon, but he moved his head. It's not so easy to... Hey, look, he's awake.
You're all right, mister. Just take it easy for a bit now.
Oh, that this too solid flesh would melt, thaw, and resolve itself into a dew.
What did he say?
Oh, it's out of his head, Chester.
For this relief, much thanks.
Forget it. Chester, get around the other side and shade him from the sun.
Yes, sir.
The sun. I begin to be a weary of the sun.
I don't blame you. What happened?
My wagon shed a wheel, I fear, along the high road. I know not where I am.
You're about 4 miles out of Dodge City. Kansas.
Kansas. I would give all my fame for a pot of ale and safety.
We better get him to town quick. He's in a bad way. He's delirious.
You think you can make it on a horse? We'll take him into Dodge. And he passed out again. We tied him across Doc's horse. Doc and I doubled up, and Chester rode behind. The stranger was a tall, skinny man with a face like a friendly mule. Big hands and thin wrists stretched out from his sleeves. He had no papers on him, nothing. And until he woke up, we wouldn't even know his name. Doc settled him down in the back of his place, and he was still asleep when Chester and I rode out to where we figured he'd left his wagon. Wasn't hard to see when we found it.
What color wagon would you call that, Mr. Dillon?
Puce, Chester. Puce.
I guess so. Seems to be some writing on the side there.
Yeah. Oh, Irving Henry, Thespian Supreme Disciple of the Immortal Bard.
I should have known he was a religious man.
He's an actor, Chester, the Immortal Bard. Shakespeare, William Shakespeare, wrote plays, poems.
You think he let the horses go, Mr. Dillon?
Well, I was wondering that. Seems to me he'd have ridden for help instead of trying to walk.
Horses couldn't have got out of the harness ourselves.
Well, let's take a look at the wheel.
I wish we could wait till the sun goes down. It's going to be awful hot work, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. It's not too bad. The pin fell out. Must be another in the box at the back. Take a look, will you, Chester?
Yes, sir.
I'll prop the wheel up here. Now.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, can't you find it?
Will you come here a minute?
What's the matter?
Take a look in there.
It took a second or two to get used to the darkness inside the wagon. And then I saw the hand sticking out from behind a trunk. You didn't have to be the doc to know that it was a dead hand. The body was of a man about 40. He was dirty. And in a greasy, torn waistcoat, I found a pocketbook with his name, Sam Matchett. And that was all. Below his left shoulder and his back was a patch of dried blood. And in the middle, a bullet hole. We got the wagon wheel on, hitched up our horses, and drove into Dodge. Doc?
Oh, that you, Marshal?
Yeah.
Yeah, be right out.
All right.
Get that fella's wagon fixed up?
Yeah, I brought it in. Is he awake?
Oh, I haven't looked in the last half hour. I was making coffee. You want some?
No, thanks.
Oh, it's a funny thing about coffee when it's hot weather like this. Drink it scalding and it makes you feel cooler outside.
Look, Doc, I got to see that fellow. I want to ask him a couple of questions.
Why, that's so?
I found a dead man in the back of his wagon.
You don't say?
You better take a look. Chester's bringing him in the side.
Oh, sure. You want to go on back?
Yeah, thanks, Doc. Mr. Henry? Mr. Henry, wake up.
Yeah, what? Oh.
Your name, Irving Henry?
Oh, Irving Henry. What is this place?
Now, you got to listen to me for a minute. We found your wagon.
Ah? Uh-huh.
Did you let the horses go before you set out on your own?
Of course. I could not let them remain to die.
Well, how come you didn't take one to ride?
I have a loathing of horses. I cannot bear one under my body. There is a carafe of water beside the bed. Would you be good enough, Mr.
Dillon, Matt Dillon. I'm the marshal here in Dodge City. Here you are.
Oh, my thanks.
Now, what were you doing with a dead man in your wagon, Mr. Henry?
A dead man?
A dead man shot in the back, lying in your wagon.
This is very midsummer madness.
I won't argue about that, but I'll thank you to answer my question.
But it is impossible. It isn't true.
I say it is.
You lie in your throat if you say that I'm any other than an honest man.
Look, mister, I didn't say you weren't honest. You're an actor. And you got a fine way of saying things, but murder's murder. I don't care how you say it. Now, I'm asking questions, and I want straight answers.
Your pardon, sir. What you tell me... In truth, if it were played upon a stage, I would condemn it as an improbable fiction. I swear to you, I know nothing of a body.
Did you come through Hayes City?
Yes.
Do you know a man there called Sam Matchett?
No.
You had no trouble in Hayes City?
No.
What are you doing in these parts, Mr. Henry?
I am touring the provinces. An actor... eating the bitter bread of banishment. My talents are not taken for their worth in the East. And therefore, I bring the immortal bard to the hinterlands. And now, sir, that the interview is ended, pray give me leave to depart.
I'm sorry, I can't do that. You'll have to stay until we get this thing cleared up.
Mr. Dillon, Doc would like to see you.
All right, Chester. Stay here with Mr. Henry, will you?
Well, sure, Mr. Dillon, sure. How are you feeling by now, Mr. Henry?
Would you like some more water?
These evil
manners
live in brass.
Doc?
Right here,
Marshal.
Fill me cup for father's boy.
What'd you find?
Well, there's one thing. This man didn't die right away. I mean, not right when he was shot.
Is that so?
No. More likely bled to death. Inside.
Uh-huh. You think he might have been able to climb up in the wagon after he was shot?
Well, he might. There's another thing.
Yeah.
You see the way he's dressed? Now, you take a look at that. What?
Help! Help!
Come on. Come on, Doc. Chester.
What's the matter with him?
Chester.
My gun when I was pouring him some water, Mr. Dillon.
He must have gone through the window, Marshal.
I tried to get it back. It went off.
Take care of Chester, Doc. I'm going after him.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, do you know how old the school building in your community is? If it's over 25 years old, the chances are that it's woefully inadequate to the present demands on it. Certainly, thousands of schools all over America are unable to meet the needs of a greatly increased enrollment. And all our school children will suffer unless all of us work actively to improve conditions. Join with the groups in your community working for better school conditions. Remember, better schools build a stronger America. Now, the second act of Gunsmoke.
When I went out of there, I didn't know how badly Chester was hurt. There was a lot of blood on his head and over his face. It was nearly dark outside, and the street was empty. It was supper time. I could see the women through the windows getting food ready. The kids were inside, too. Sure looked peaceful. But with Henry out with a gun, well, that wasn't a good thing to have running around loose in Dodge.
Evening, Mr. Dillon.
Did you see a man run down the street, Miss Fletcher?
Well, no.
Well, you better get inside and lock your door. Don't come out again. There's a killer loose. I walked the length of the street, listening, waiting. And when I got to the end, there was nothing. He hadn't taken a horse. I'd have heard that. And in a way, I was sorry, because if he'd tried to hide and dodge, there'd be no way to get out of shooting that wouldn't get women and kids hurt. A breeze came up and swirls of dust flew around, and then settled as the air became still and hot again. I went back to Doc's place.
Did you find him, Marshal?
No. How's Chester?
Oh, I'm fine, Mr. Dillon. Just creased my head. More mess than hurt.
Oh, good, Chester. Look, you want to go home or you want to work?
I want to work.
All right. Go down to the office, get yourself another gun, and round up some men, many as you can. As long as Henry stays in town, we're in trouble. Now, keep your eyes open. Meet me back here.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dillon.
Take my gun with you, and if you see him, watch out. All right, now get going.
Yes, sir.
Now, Doc, I'm going to have to make you a deputy, too.
Well, maybe instead of digging out bullets, I'll be putting some in.
It's not funny, Doc. Now, come on. All right, we'll start here. I'll take this side, you take the other. Get the men to go through their houses and tell them to look for their horses. Tell them what's happening. But 10 o'clock that night, as far as we could tell, Henry hadn't left town. There were plenty of places for him to hide, though. We had 50 men out searching. Chester and I were working along back of the express office. There were a couple of houses there we hadn't covered.
You wouldn't think a man like that would be a killer, now would you, Mr. Dillon?
I never saw a man yet couldn't be, Chester. Depends on your reasons for killing, I guess. Now, let's take a look behind these boxes, huh?
You think he could have got this far?
Yeah, he might. A lot of back streets to sneak around in the dark. That's Miss Cullen's place there, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Looks like she's still awake. Light burning back there.
Yeah.
Seem a bit cooler to you tonight, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, a bit. Oh, evening, Miss Cullen. I'm sorry to get you up, but we're looking for a man, a stranger around. He's tall, thin. You seen anyone about tonight?
No. No, I haven't.
Huh? How's the kids?
Oh, they're fine. Thank you, Mr. Dillon. Fine.
Uh-huh. Well, you keep the place locked tight, Miss Cullen. Don't let anybody in tonight unless you know who it is.
All right. Good night, Mr. Dillon.
Good night, ma'am.
Well, now, that's strange. She didn't even say hello to me, and I know her better than you do, Mr. Dillon.
Chester, round up the others. Get them over here.
I don't know why she...
He's in there with her. I think he's got the kids in the sleeping room.
Well,
sent her out to get rid of us. Now, I'm going to try and get in. Don't do anything when you come back. Just put the men around the house.
Yes, sir.
I'd seen Miss Cullen make a move with her head, and her eyes said the rest. When I told her to lock up, I shook my head, and I hoped she understood. I wanted that front door to stay open.
As soon as I can.
He was in there, all right. I could hear him. I wanted him alive. But I wasn't going to risk hurt to Miss Cullen or the kids getting him.
Please. I did what you asked. Don't hurt the children, please.
They will never know this night. And in the morning, when they're awake. What's that? You said you locked the door after you.
No, don't. Don't.
I shall keep the pistol turned to the girl's head, ma'am. Someone is here. They're trying to take me. Who is it? Who?
Mr. Dillon, go away. Please. He'll kill us.
You lied. You lied. Oh, tiger's heart wrapped in a woman's hide. Listen to me, Marshal Dillon. Throw your pistol in here and then come in with your hands before you. I have no stomach for child killing, but I will not hesitate to do so.
Now, give me the gun, Henry.
No.
You won't be able to get out of this.
I must. There is living to be done.
You know, that fancy talk isn't going to help either. Now, why don't you climb down? What happened to Matchett?
Nothing happened to Matchett.
Why'd you kill him?
I didn't.
In 5 minutes or less, there'll be 50 men or more around here. Now, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
If you didn't kill Matchett, you'll get a chance. I'll see to that. There's no use going on this way. Give me the gun.
I cannot. It is my prop of salvation.
No gun is salvation to anybody. Put it down.
You must tell the men to go away, Marshal Dillon. I'll have to take one of these children with me for my protection.
No!
Shed a tear for me, madam. I have the greater need.
You do a lot of talking, mister. I'd like to see you turn the gun away from that kid's head. That'd take more than talk, wouldn't it, though?
I have no skill with such a weapon. Why should I match with you? I want to live.
You're going about it the wrong way.
The smallest worm will turn being trod upon.
Meaning?
You gave me no choice when you brought me here. Would have been better to have left me lying in the dust. You don't understand. You don't know.
Well, why don't you tell me?
What good would it do?
It depends.
My life has been the theater. As a boy, I was a student of Shakespeare. He would look at me. Who would accept this face for Hamlet? This ill-shaped body for Romeo? His speech has become my speech, but when the fools only look, they cannot listen for laughing.
There have been ugly men before you, and hasn't been cause for murder. Why'd you kill Matchett?
In New York, there was a man. A gross, stupid man who fancied himself an interpreter of the bard. He took me, as his apprentice. And together we set out for the tour. I would play under the voices. Never Richard. Never Henry. Never Leah. Only the voices. Whilst he, stumbling, drunken, he muddled and tore to a tatter the words that I should have spoken.
You killed a man because you wanted to play a hero?
How easily murder is discovered.
Yeah, sometimes, I guess.
It was yesterday. We were leaving Hayes City. We played there for 2 days, and it made me a laughing stock. It was night, and he became drunk and threatened to leave me in the next town. I made him stop the wagon, and taking up a pistol, I shot him. He did not die at first, and when I saw what I had done, I wanted him to live. And I put him into the wagon, and I drove on, hoping to find a doctor. Then, as the night passed, I saw that he had died. And I was afraid.
The wagon broke down?
Yes. I put my purse into his clothes and took his name for mine. How I've hated the name of Sam Matchett. But you wouldn't understand.
I wouldn't? Well, what now?
I want to live. I want my chance.
You've done a murder. I can't let you go. You know that. Don't make it harder.
I lost my husband 2 years ago. I know what it is to be alone. You've been alone, haven't you? I'm sorry. But you killed someone.
We may pity, though not pardon, dear. I'm going now, Marshal.
If you walk out of there with your gun, you're a dead man.
Death's a great disguiser. I must have my chance.
Don't do it, Matchett. There'll be killing.
Madam, forgive me. I would not have harmed your children.
Matchett, put down your gun.
Let me go my way. Please.
There are a lot of men waiting for you out there, Matchett. You know what'll happen if you open the door. Don't do it, Matchett.
There's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come.
Matchett. He knew he was going to die. The minute he opened that door, he knew it. And maybe he wanted to, because he fired first, a single shot. We buried him in back of the church, and I found some words in a book to put on his grave. He that dies pays all debts.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Anthony Ellis, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Hans Conried was featured as Henry, with Mary Lansing as Mrs. Cullen. Parley Bear is Chester and Howard McNear is Doc. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Roy Rowan speaking. Remember, Gangbusters going to action Saturday nights on the CBS Radio Network.
That's the Relic Radio show for this week. If you want to hear more from Theater 5 or Gunsmoke, more Relic Radio, find all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, visit the website, relicradio.com. If you'd like to help support it all, there's a donate button there as well, and some special downloadable sets for certain donation amounts. You can check that out all at relicradio.com. Thank you, as always, to those who have donated, and thanks for joining me today. Talk again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.